The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The Gospel reading this morning is the entire ninth chapter of John, of which you only have portions, so you will need to listen. As Jesus went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some said he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But the man himself insisted, "I am the one." "How then were your eyes opened?" they demanded. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and now I can see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." Others asked, "How can a sinner do such miraculous signs?" So they were divided. Finally they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened." The man replied, "He is a prophet." The Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son?" they asked. "Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that he can now see?" "We know he is our son," the parents answered, "and we know he was born blind. But how he can see or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He can speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid. The Jewish religious leaders had already decided that anyone who acknowledged Jesus as the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." A second time they summoned the man who had been born blind. "Give glory to God," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." He replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I know. I was blind. Now I see." Then they asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered, "I've already told you, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples?" Then they hurled insults at him, saying, "You are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." The man answered, "Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. Nobody ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." To this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What, are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
Lord Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see become blind." Who are the blind? Who are those who can see? Those who can see, according to Jesus, are those who think they already know. Those who trust in their human wisdom and experience and feeling. Those whose way of acting and thinking precludes anything new, especially from God. Those who, in short, do not know their need, their great need of God. Those who are sure they already see, they already hear, they already know. I meet people like this all the time. Perhaps you do too. Well, I don't need to go down there to that church. I already know all that stuff. I learned it when I was a kid. I believe in God, as if that means anything. I know all that stuff already. I can remember when I was an undergraduate and knew everything. You remember that? Yeah, I knew everything. Because I was a philosophy and a literature major. And I was quite certain that I knew most everything. It was important to know. And one of the things that I knew was that you people were ridiculous. I used to say that. Church is the last refuge of the ridiculous. People who don't have it together in life, so, you know, they need this. People who are still overcome by the dinosaur brain, which says, you know, we don't know, existence is a kind of a scary thing, and God and the belief in God is that leftover part of primitive humanity which is frightened by the unpredictability of the forces of nature, and so it projects its fears and its longings and its own ego state and creates God. And that's why there are so many different kinds of God, you know. And the people who need this are people who haven't figured it out. I used to write things like that on the bathroom wall in the graduate library, you know. Church is the last refuge of the ridiculous. Stuff like that. I was back in North Carolina last November to go to a conference, and I went to my old school, my alma mater, the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, the finest university in the land. And I went in the old graduate library to see if any of my wisdom remained. I regret to inform you there's new wisdom there now. Not nearly as articulate as mine, of course. There are new people who know everything, and they have different ways of expressing it. You know, our whole problem is, if we think we already know, if we think we already see, if we think we already got it, we won't see, and we won't get it, and we won't know. Those who can see are those who are sure they can see. When I was in this phase of my life, I was taking a course in analytic philosophy, which was all the rage back then. That and existentialism. I never understood that either, because they say quite the opposite. Anyway, I guess when you know it all, it doesn't matter. But I had my hero was this raging atheist of a philosopher someone asked him one day in class, I take it must have been some sort of believer, asked him, well, what would happen, you know, what would it take for you? I mean, what if an angel just came down from heaven in shining a ray and spoke to you? He said, I would look for the wires. Who let that thing down? I'd look for the special lighting and the smoke and mirrors, in other words, because it can't be true. Because I already know, it can't be true. You know why Moses was the only one that saw that burning bush? He's the only one that could see it. You know why there's no record of the Israelite exodus from Egypt, in spite of all those interesting plagues you read about? No record of it. No historical record whatsoever. You know why? Nobody would believe that story. Because we already know how things work, and they don't work like that. Unless, of course, Oprah tells us it's true. And then we'll believe anything. We are the most incredible people. You know, on the one hand, we know it all, and stuff like that didn't happen, and don't talk to me about that stuff and God and miracles. And on the other hand, if a celebrity, a personality, says it, it must be right. And we all go mewlingly, okay. I can't believe the stuff that's put out under the name of celebrity that people will grasp. I was channel surfing the other night for a hockey game, which I found. And there was some awful woman on there. Maybe she's on there all the time. I don't know. You tell me. A psychic. Whatever that means. And you know the woman? And
Ms. Cleo.
Cleo, that was her name. Cleo. And she was speaking this sort of fake Caribbean accent and predicting all kinds of things. And if you just call in, you know, she'll give you a free reading. Of course, once you call in and we get halfway through the free reading, I'm sure there's more to follow and you need to now pay up and get the rest of the reading or you'll never know what's going to happen to you. And we have a whole culture full of people that just eat that stuff up. But if God talks straight to us and speaks straight to us and reveals himself straight to us, that can't be right because we already know about that. What's wrong with that? Well, we need to become blind and deaf and lame. Jesus says, I came for the blind. Blind how? Blind like the servant of Yahweh is blind in our first reading from Isaiah this morning. So blind that Jesus refuses to see anything but what God wants to show. So deaf that he refuses to hear anything except what God wants to say. And until we become blind and deaf like that, we can't see and we won't hear and we won't know. Who are the blind? Those who are willing to be led by the servants of Yahweh. Who will only go where God wants him to go. Who are the blind? Those who admit they cannot see and they do not know and are willing once again to hear a new song. Behold, God said, I am doing a new thing. The God who does new things, who manifests himself in Jesus, who says, behold, I am making all things new, this God, speaks straight to us and reveals himself straight to us. And if we don't see it, it's because we think we already know all that and there's nothing more to see. Who are the blind? Those who admit they cannot see. Those who say, I know I am blind from birth. And unless you touch me, Jesus, unless you wash me, I will not be clean, I will not be healed, I will not see. Who are the blind? Those who are willing, like the psalmist today, to cry out, Lord, have mercy, and mean it. Knowing that we don't even know what it is that we need, we just know that we need. And we cry out to God, Lord, have mercy. I have a friend who's a recovering alcoholic. His nickname is Bones. Bones has been recovering for many years. And Bones, who never believed in God either when he was young, didn't need to, he had booze, is fond of saying, I'm so grateful that God didn't give me what I had coming. I'm so grateful God didn't give me justice. I'm so grateful I didn't get my just desert. I'm so grateful God just gave me mercy. We have to come to God, as Jesus put it, like little children who know not a thing accept their need and confess, I am blind and deaf. Who are the blind? Those who will come to Jesus in confession and repentance and seek for the healing only He can provide and be washed with the living water which He gives. A living water which springs up ever new within us. A water which continually washes away the old inscriptions we've posted on the wall. A water which is taking us somewhere and shaping us. The word for God in Greek means a living, rushing stream. God is going somewhere. He isn't sitting there like a stagnant pool or like your backyard jacuzzi in which you can relax and pamper yourself. No, God is taking us somewhere. A moving, rushing stream and continually seeks to spring up within us, doing a new thing. The Word of God is not set in concrete. The Word of God is living and active like a sword that points right between the heart and the soul and the spirit and divides our parts from one another and breaks up the hard ground of our hearts to seek again to implant its own life-giving Word that it may take root and grow and bear the fruit of the Spirit for which the hungry world seeks. Who are the blind? Those who will give up what they already know and will come knowing nothing. Plunge into the living stream and be carried and shaped, continually cleansed and inspired. Those who will be washed afresh and anew. At once washed and once enlightened, those who will live as children of the light, putting aside the fruitless works of darkness. What does that mean, to live as children of the light? Well, if Jesus is the light of the world, and if it is He who opens our eyes so that we can see, and if He is the light toward which we look, then to live as a child of the light is to live as the one who has enlightened us. To imitate the Master. To seek His character to be expressed through us as He expressed the character of God through Himself. And so the blind are those who once enlightened will live as children of the light and testify to the truth like this man. I don't know anything, he says, except this. I was born blind and now I can see. Don't ask me how and why and where and when. Here's what I know. I was blind. Now I see. What the world needs more than celebrity speech and the pontification of pundits is people who've been washed and who know nothing except where the stream is. People who have been enlightened and know nothing except if you too will look to the light of the world, you will see. People who may not be able to articulate, explain to anybody how it happens or when or where or why, but they just know that it happens. You come to Jesus. This is all I know. He found me and He washed me and now I see. You too can be washed, we proclaim with that message. You too can see. Who are the blind? The blind are those who come to Jesus and believe in Him and worship Him. The chief gods of our culture, after all, are not celebrities. They come and go. Nor pundits. They come and go. The chief gods of our culture are ourselves. And so, Mr. Freud was partly right. The projection of our longings and fears and our superego, and we create God in our own image as long as He looks like us and does what we want and says what we like and gives us the things we're seeking. But the true God isn't like that at all. The true God is the one who is worthy of my worship. And so Jesus says to this blind man, do you believe in the Son of Man? And this blind man knows exactly what Jesus is talking about, because this blind man is Jewish, and for all these centuries, these people have been looking for this Son of Man, this one whom Daniel describes as he who sits at the right hand of the power of God. In other words, he is the power of God. This one who will come and bring all nations under his dominion, this one who will fulfill all the prophecies, who will heal and liberate and proclaim good news. Do you believe in this one? And so this man is delivered from his own illusions, if he had any, that his wants and desires and yearnings and longings and projections are the true God. Who is he that I may believe in him? It is I who speak to you, Jesus says. And he worshiped him. We come to Jesus willing to be blind, willing to admit that we don't see, that we don't hear, that we don't already know. We come to Jesus willing to give up the worship of ourselves and all the things we think we just have to have other than himself in order to live. We come to Jesus and we ask to be washed and to be enlightened. We come to Jesus bowing low in worship. We come to Jesus and Jesus heals us so that we do see and we do hear. And we will walk in the path he has set for us. Only we have to come again and again and again, because there's something wrong with us. We think we've already got it. And we have to come back to Jesus again and go, you know, what was that you said? What was that you showed me? Do that again. Say that again. Like little children who need that favorite bedtime story read over and over and over, we have to hear it, the old, old story again and again and again. Because every time we hear it, it's fresh and it's new. And it takes us someplace else and we see something else and something else is washed away and something else is made clean. It's the continual coming to Jesus who heals us and enlightens us. It's the continual confession, I am blind. For judgment I came into this world, so that the blind will see. The rule is, I have to confess I'm blind, so that I can see. Will you, this morning, come to Jesus? Will you, in your heart and mind, bow before him in worship and confess, I do not see, I have not heard, I do not already know. Wash me, enlighten me. I worship you. Amen.